Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week's episode of Pop Everything is brought to you by Audible, the leading provider of audiobook entertainment with over 150,000 audiobooks. To sign up for a free 30-day trial and download an audiobook of your choice to keep for free, go to audiblepodcast.com/popeverything.
Hello and welcome to Pop Everything, a podcast about pop culture and everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tim.
And I'm Tom.
I forgot my name.
That's fine.
I was very excited to do this, yeah. This intro, Tom, and yeah. Then I...
You forgot which one you were, if you were Tom or Tim.
Yeah,
happens to the best of us.
I had to, I usually have to just look inside my underpants where my mom writes my name.
But there's not enough time when you're doing the intro.
Exactly.
You can't turn all the way around.
Yeah, so
I've told you multiple times you can't take your pants off in here.
I used my memory for that one time.
Good thinking.
Thanks.
What's new in pop culture this week, Tim?
MasterChef Junior ended. What?
I'm sad that it ended.
No, you're not. You're sick of me talking about MasterChef Junior, but the thing is...
to be fair, I'm sick of hearing you talk about MasterChef in general.
Yeah, that thing was 7 episodes long.
Yeah.
There's 100,000 superhero movies, 10,000 episodes of garbage superhero TV shows. We gotta talk about that stuff all the time. At least this ended.
Why was it only 7 episodes? Was it child labor laws?
Kids had to go to school, man.
Yeah, they film it all in one day, the whole season.
They seemingly filmed it over like 4 or 5 days.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was like summer camp for these kids.
Yeah, well, not really. If it was only 4 days long,
how long do you think summer camp?
Shitty summer is the whole summer.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Kids don't know anything. A week of summertime feels like 3 months to a regular adult.
No, but the sleepaway summer... Did you ever go to a sleepaway summer camp?
No, I was afraid to go on sleepovers when I was a kid.
Do you know anyone who did?
No.
I don't think they were a thing. I think they exist
only
in television.
I mean, I know someone now who did.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I didn't know anybody where we grew
up.
Was
it a Jewish sleepaway camp?
It was.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there were like...
I don't think we should be talking about this, Tom.
No, there were Jewish sleepaway camps, and then there were like ones tailored to sports.
Right.
And that was the bulk of it. I would have liked to go to a Jewish sleepaway
camp.
Yeah,
there was no camp for us, the non-Jewish nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. That ship sailed now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we could start something for grown-ups. I guess we could just go camping.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I guess I do that once in a while.
You don't want counselors or something, do you?
No. One time I was camping in the woods and the ranger came and made us pour out all our beer, and I imagine that's what it would have been like with the counselors.
Yeah. One time I was camping, the ranger came and took back all the picnic baskets I had stolen.
Yeah, well, Tom... You aligned yourself with some shady characters that trip. A bear and a hat. Never trust a bear with a hat and a tie and no shirt.
Or pants.
He had a collar, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is probably some 80s comedian's bit.
Yeah. You're stealing unknowingly. Yeah.
So, Tom, what's
new in my pop culture world?
Yeah.
Well, Tim, I saw Thor, The Dark World. 2 enthusiastic thumbs up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you might even like it.
Let's not get into detail. I bet I won't.
It wasn't as much a superhero movie as it was like a sci-fi movie.
Okay.
The thing that I like about Thor, that I think you would like about Thor, did you see the first Thor movie?
You remember who you're talking to, right?
Well, you watched 10 minutes of The Avenger.
Yeah.
The Avengers. Yeah.
But I think there was only one Avenger in it before I turned it off.
Yeah.
And I think I actually quipped to no one in particular. What is this, The Avenger?
Good one. Yeah. The thing about Thor that is kind of cool and refreshing is that he's not really a superhero. He's a god from another world. He's not reluctant, you know?
Yeah.
And he's not burdened. He's not burdened by...
That is a relief nowadays where everything is... How come nobody's bemoaning this fact? How come the pundits out there aren't like, why can't Superman not be brooding? Why can't he just be happy to be an American
hero? No, people were mad about that last superhero movie.
Was like Glenn Beck angry about it? Was Rush Limbaugh angry about
maybe.
It?
Maybe.
All right. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't know.
Yeah. I don't know. They do like 6-hour long shows. Yeah. It might have come up.
So you're saying that like this guy's just an unapologetic badass. Does he talk in that old timey?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that.
No,
yeah.
That's what's fun about it.
One man's fun is another man's interminable fucking movie. God damn it. I was cursing the show.
Did it twice there. he's not burdened by his powers or anything because he's had them. His whole life. This is his duty.
That's
is to
his
be
thing.
Thor.
He's not struggling with. Oh,
yeah.
The weight of the world.
I wish I didn't.
Much.
I wish I didn't have this awesome hammer. He's like, no, check out this hammer.
I'm
going to
hit
awesome.
So many. I'm going to hammer so many nails with this hammer. I'm an awesome carpenter.
No, and he can put out his hand and the hammer just comes to him like a boomerang.
Okay.
And
I've never gotten a boomerang to work.
And here's the other thing he can do that's really cool. So the end of the hammer's got like a little leather loop. He can spin it on the loop, you know, like it goes whoop, 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 so fast that then when he kind of whips it at something, he can just hold on to it and hang on for the ride. And he can, you know, fly that way.
That's cool.
Yeah. You can't do that with anything in real life. So it's a good movie. What's her name's in it from Black Swan? Natalie Portman.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She plays Thor's girlfriend.
That's cool. Everybody needs a paycheck, right?
Chris O'Dowd's in it.
You can't. Hey, look.
He's
can't
very
make
funny
a living doing good movies in Hollywood these days. So,
Sir Anthony Hopkins is in it.
Really?
He plays Odin.
I don't know what that means, Tom.
Don't you know Norse mythology?
I don't know any mythology, and that's the one thing keeping me from
winning Jeopardy.
Not even winning Jeopardy, even taking the Jeopardy test.
Yeah, you need to know mythology.
Even if that doesn't come up on the test,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to look like an idiot in front of Alex Trebek.
I think where we went to school...
Johnny Gilbert.
They were supposed to teach us mythology, and they didn't.
You know what? Good on them, because I don't care. I don't care to know any mythology.
No, but I've played...
You know what? I'd rather learn real things that actually happen than like, hey, you want to know this made-up crap that a bunch of morons thousands of years ago believed? And it's not true? Do you want to know about that? I'd be like, no. Tell me about the things that happened.
Tim, that's spoken by somebody who hasn't watched Ancient Aliens and doesn't think maybe there's something to everything.
There's something to everything?
Something to all these... Which is actually kind of the idea behind the Marvel superhero Thor. That... all these gods were aliens. They were real, and they were on Earth for a little bit, and then they went back to their home planet.
Okay.
And then, you know, now they came back because aliens want to get us and stuff.
Okay.
But it's a good movie.
Great.
I liked it. In 3D, I saw it even.
Yeah.
It's pretty good in 3D. I usually don't like 3D movies, but I like this one.
All right. Well, good on you.
But I'd like to talk about, since you brought up comic books.
I'm not sure I did. I've always wanted to get a stenographer in here.
Yeah, well, they're too loud with all that clacking.
Clackety clack, clack, clack.
And just so you could be like, could you read back And then she'd have to, you know, put her glasses down.
It would really slow down the podcast,
yeah,
too.
Tremendously. I wanted to talk about the television show Arrow.
So we're going to get all the comic book talk out of the way.
Uh-huh. And then we're going to end the episode.
Right. And then we'll come back and do more of it next week.
Tim.
Arrow, about the Green Lantern.
No. God. About.
Oh, the Green Hornet.
About the Green Arrow.
Not familiar.
He's an archer.
Is that Marvel?
No, it's DC.
All right, that was an actual question, Tom.
Right. It's DC. Marvel is Hawkeye. He's the archer. He stinks, Hawkeye.
But what's
get
good
out
about
of here.
Arrow that where how is Arrow better than Hawkeye as a character?
He's got a
do they have identical powers?
He's got a Van Dyke mustache. Van Dyke goatee.
Okay. No, but do they have identical powers?
Yeah, neither of them have any powers, Tim.
So they're just good at archery. It's
really good at archery.
You might as well be watching a show about Gina Davis.
Hey, would that be so terrible?
Sign me up for that, yeah.
Well, you missed your chance when that President Lady show was on.
I watched that President Lady show religiously, sir.
So, yeah, he's a really good archer.
You know what that proved?
What?
America's not ready for a President Lady.
Or at least prime time wasn't.
Yeah, I know. And it's a shame because that was a babe.
Did you see I think it was like a Funny or Die or College Humor video of Gina Davis just doing archery in all of her movie costumes?
No.
Yeah, it's like her wearing her League of Their Own costume doing archery.
League of Their Own, man.
That was a good movie.
I'm worried to rewatch that because I thought that was a great movie.
How many times would you say you've seen that movie?
Probably 7.
I think I've seen it over a dozen times because that movie just used to be on HBO all the time.
Oh, I didn't have HBO.
You just would rent it or something?
Yeah, I'd rent it. I saw it in theaters.
Did you?
Yeah, I was a cinephile.
You're not supposed to say things like
that. Tom, you don't understand.
But Arrow, Tim, I'm going to say this. I'm going to proclaim this. The best superhero TV show ever made.
Really?
Yep.
Better than Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman?
Better than Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
Better
which
than,
wasn't very good.
Better than Homicide, Life on the Streets?
That's not a superhero show. They're just doing a really good job with it. They
better than the Batman Superman Hour?
Oh, the cartoon?
Yeah. Are cartoons excluded from this?
Maybe cartoons are excluded. I wasn't crazy about the Batman Superman Hour, but Batman the Animated Series was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that was one half of the Batman Superman Hour.
Oh. Oh, you're talking about a programming block, not a television
show.
Yeah,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Tim, we're not talking about programming blocks.
What channel is it on?
It's on the CW.
Oh, so it's for teens?
No, Tim, it's for anybody.
It's for tweens.
It's for grown-ups, too. A lot of violence in it.
Really?
Yeah.
For teens.
So
it's like a Smallville version of the Green Lantern?
No, that's what makes it awesome, that it's not a Smallville version of it. It's, and this is what I sincerely hope, that when DC gets... Because they're going to make a Justice League movie because they saw that the Avengers made all the money in the world. And they're like, what the hell? The Avengers has like, B-level superheroes in it. You know, Marvel lineup. It doesn't even have, Spider-Man or Wolverine in it or whatever. And they're like, we've got a team that's got Batman and Superman. We got to make this movie. So they're going to make that movie. They would be really dumb if they do not incorporate this version of the Green Arrow in it.
Guess what?
What?
They won't.
They probably won't.
Okay.
They'll get...
I just want to set you up for disappointment beforehand, so that's not your big gripe. But you will have your own gripes with that Superman-Batman movie, and I'm sure we'll all hear them here.
I'm not even talking... I'm just talking about Justice League. But they should include this guy because... What it is basically the first season is the Green Arrow year one instead of like, oh, here he is as a teen. This is one of the things I like about the show, Tim.
That you don't like about
the
show?
That I do like about the show. The guy playing the Green Arrow, he's like a year or two older than I am. Okay. He's not a, you know, they didn't get a, I like it. I still like the idea that a superhero is older than me.
I like the, I tend to gravitate towards things. This is why I cannot really watch professional sports that much
right
now. Everybody in life has accomplished so much more than me, so I don't want to see characters on TV shows leading interesting lives. I don't want to see people with careers making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Who are younger than I am.
Yeah, so you can watch Arrow, Tim, and you can be like, yeah, I haven't accomplished as much as Oliver here, but
there's still time.
But there's still time. He's a little bit older than me. Maybe I'll get really good at shooting bows and arrows.
Phil Hartman didn't go on SNL until in his 40s.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the Green Arrow didn't become the Green Arrow until he was in his 30s.
The Green Arrow is the Phil Hartman of superheroes.
Kinda. But the way he became
versatile. Is he versatile?
Yeah, I mean, he's good at fighting too.
Fighting and archery?
Fighting and archery.
That's the two things.
He combines the two.
Those were the two best things about
Phil Hartman. A lot of times he'll shoot some arrows at the bad guys and then he'll come in to fight them.
Okay.
But the storyline is he's very similar to Batman and Bruce Wayne because he's a billionaire too and doesn't have any powers.
Right.
But the big difference is the way he became the Green Arrow, at least according to this show's mythology, which is, you know, like any comic, there's always like a few different stories.
But, right. Because it's all very childish.
But he,
I don't know what that, how that makes it childish, but
he's like a spoiled billionaire,
right?
Where, you know, where Bruce Wayne's parents died when he was young, Oliver Queen's parents did not die when he was young, so he grew up just a spoiled brat, and he's in his 20s. Like, I don't think he even, like, went to college. He was just like, I'm rich. I'm not going to do anything. He's like a Paris Hilton.
Okay.
You know, he's always getting arrested and in trouble.
Oh, that's cute.
For drugs and, like, you know, things like that. And cheats on his girlfriend with his girlfriend's sister. But anyway.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's out on the boat, the Queen's Gambit. That's his dad's like super yacht.
So you're rooting for this guy even though he's terrible?
Well, here's what happens, Tim. There's a huge storm and he gets shipwrecked.
Ooh.
So he gets shipwrecked on this island, and the island is not what he thinks. It's a deserted island.
Is it the island from Lost?
No, it's not the island from Lost, but it's got plenty of secrets. And he thinks he's gonna die on the island, but he doesn't. And the show is like most of it's set present day. But then maybe like a quarter of the show is flashbacks when he's on the island.
Okay.
And they're kind of telling the story of here's what happened to him. He was stranded on this island. Everybody thought he was dead. He was declared dead.
Okay.
He was stranded on this island for 5 years. And a lot happened on that island. And that's where he learned how to fight and archery. His dad gave him a list of like bad people in the city, like corrupt business people.
Why did he give
people
him that list? Just to stay away from?
No, his dad, him and his dad were on the rescue, you know, the raft together. And his dad was like, look, I did a lot of bad things to become a billionaire.
Like every single billionaire.
Yeah, but here's...
Let me go on record. Every single billionaire is a criminal.
Here's the list of like other bad people. Like if
shoot them with arrows.
If you want to honor my legacy, like
shoot them with arrows.
Look into these guys and take them down.
And then shoot them with take them down with arrows.
No, and then his dad takes a gun and shoots himself in the head and kills himself because there's not like enough supplies for both of them.
Yikes! So spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, I think it happens in the first episode. So eventually, he makes it back to the city. To Starling City, I think it's called. In the comic, I think it's just Star City, but and he becomes
but some executive was like, let's call it Starling City.
Yeah. But then he becomes the Green Arrow and
shoots bad guys with arrows.
Well, that's the thing. In the first season,
is he killing corrupt businessmen?
In the first season, he kills so many people.
Corrupt businessmen?
Oh yeah.
So he's not protecting against, like, supervillains.
No.
Oh, I like this show.
Yeah, and it, he says their name and then says, "You have failed this city," and then executes them with arrows.
That's not a... Oh, this is a very populist kind of channeling the whole Occupy Wall Street.
A little bit.
All right. The CW's got their finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
Huh?
But something happens in the first season that I can't say. Maybe give spoilers.
Oh, there's spoilers here, right?
But
this is a safe spoiler
no,
space.
No, I don't want to spoil it.
Oh. What are you trying to get people to watch
this
show?
Yeah. Okay. But in the second season, he makes a vow to not kill people.
Yeah.
Because
what happens?
Something,
does he get killed?
He gets killed. He becomes a ghost. No. Something happens that changes the way he feels about everything. Because he kills.
Does he fall in love?
No, no. It's much more tragic than that.
I know what happens.
What?
His mom gets killed.
Nope.
His girlfriend gets killed.
Nope.
Somebody gets killed, though.
Maybe.
His dad wasn't dead, and he gets killed.
No, his dad got killed in the first episode.
Yeah, but he faked it, right?
No, you see him graphically shoot himself in the head.
Graphically? How graphically for the
CW? They don't cut. They stay on the shot for 5 seconds.
Yikes.
After he's dead.
Oof.
No, of course they cut away and he just, no! And then there's a gunshot. But
is that what the Green Lantern sounds like?
No, he's not the Green Lantern. I don't know what the Green Lantern sounds
oh,
like.
Oh, no! Papa!
He kind of does have... in the flashbacks, the actor playing Oliver does play it like whinier, which is cool. But yeah, he comes back. He buys a nightclub, just so he has a cover.
Are there extended disco dancing scenes?
No, Tim. He's in the basement. He's made that into his hideout.
Lair.
Yeah, his lair.
Mm-hmm.
In the first season, the lair is not much to look at, but in the second season, they trick it out pretty nice.
Nice.
But they've found ways to incorporate like a bunch of DC characters that you know aren't going to get their own movies.
How do you know? They're making movies off of every garbage.
That's true.
Gone.
DC isn't, though.
They will.
I don't know, because they've tried, you know, they made that Green Lantern movie.
Yeah, this is what we're talking about, the Green Lantern.
And it flopped so hard.
What was that, with Michelle Gondry?
No.
What was that movie?
That was the Green Hornet.
You're acting like, you idiot. There's all these dumb comic book characters with green in their names, and I'm supposed to keep track of them?
They made the Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds. He played the Green Lantern.
Brian Reynolds.
Hal Jordan. And, that movie stunk, so they're not gonna make like a Deadshot movie or
I don't know. I don't know what you're speaking different languages
now.
So
they've been able to bring in these characters, but it's a good show. I just really like it. Did you pause it?
No, I didn't pause it.
The first season's on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's available worldwide. But I strongly, it's still crazy to me that they make so many episodes of TV shows. Because the first season's, you know, like 23 episodes and they're an hour long each. Like that
42
takes,
minutes.
Yeah. But that's a lot of content. And that's what I like about it. Because nobody's really made a good live action superhero show. And that's why, you know, we've both talked about how much we hate freaking reboots. And I also hate that in every superhero movie, it's like, well, and then at the end, he kills the bad guy. Or, you know, if it's a character that doesn't kill, the bad guy gets killed by his own hand. Because we know at best we're going to make, you know, with this lineup, 5 of these movies, we're not going to bring this bad guy back. So just kill him. And
then Christopher Nolan was like, you know what? Let's leave the Joker out there. Maybe he'll pop back in now and then.
Yeah, and then it didn't work out.
I really wanted to play the Joker in The Dark Knight Rises.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't think...
I thought I would have done a good job.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to play a cop in The Dark Knight Rises, and I missed the email, so...
Yeah, well, you know what, Tom? You couldn't cut it.
I could cut it.
I couldn't cut it to be Heath Ledger's heir.
You didn't even audition. I auditioned.
I made an audition tape.
Yeah, who'd you send it to?
I was bashful. I didn't send it to anybody.
Just made for yourself.
Yeah. I watch it every week.
And think about what could have been.
What should have been.
But, you know, the whole idea of comics, so many of these comics now have run, you know, hundreds, thousands of issues. It's much more suited for a TV show that's going to make, you know, maybe 100 hours of content to tell these kinds of stories, so we don't have to freaking reboot everything all the time.
There. That was an eloquent argument against rebooting everything.
Yeah. Make a TV show out of it.
Make a TV show out of it, and...
This show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., stinks.
All right, Tom.
That's the problem with it, because they're so afraid to put any superheroes in it. Because
they know where their bread's buttered,
exactly,
Tom,
but...
At the box office.
But if they don't
box bread buttering.
But if they don't watch it, Tim, the show's going to get canceled. The ratings are getting worse and worse.
Who cares?
They're going to put Thor in the show.
Yeah,
mark my words,
I know.
2 weeks from now.
I bet you $1,000 that they would do that.
Thor's going to be in the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As I mentioned earlier, this week's episode of Pop Everything is sponsored by Audible. You can get a free 30-day trial and an audiobook of your choice for free by going to audiblepodcast.com. This week, our recommendation is, or my recommendation, is Catching Fire, the second book of The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. You guys know the story with this one. You read the first one. We talked about the first one on The Complete Guide to Everything. The second movie, Catching Fire, is coming out soon. You don't want to be the dope who hasn't read the book. So go to audiblepodcast.com/popeverything and you can download it for free. And if you don't want to download that one, you can download any of the other ones they have. They have over 150,000. So that website, again, is audiblepodcast.com/popeverything. Get your free audiobook.
Hey, Tom.
Yep.
We're going to do a reoccurring segment.
Okay.
And you know how we're defining that as? You know how we're defining that? This is the second time it's appearing.
So it's reoccurred.
Yes.
It is about to reoccur.
Right. Top two, bottom two.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a top two. Here's the thing. You write in, you ask us to choose.
Me?
No. I'm talking.
No, you're looking at me.
I know. I'm addressing the listener.
Look at him.
All right. Gazing deep into his or her eyes. You write in.
Me?
Tom, no. I was talking about the listener this time. Oh, I wasn't okay. Looking at you this time.
Okay.
I was looking into the microphone. You write in the topic. We did best horror movies.
Yeah.
Top two horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
This week is top two something else. I won't reveal it yet. But it could be bottom two.
to keep you listening. To keep
exactly. It could be bottom
two. It'll
be
revealed after the break.
Listen to 15 minutes of commercials. If you promise not to fast forward through them, then we'll do it. It could be bottom two. Like, it could be bottom two if you're like, oh, you jerks probably like Wes Anderson movies. What are your bottom two Wes Anderson movies?
That's what I was going to say. Like, you can't be like, oh, what are the worst two Twilight movies or something. Yeah. Like, I don't want to just shit on things. Give us something like challenging. Like, here's something you like.
challenges.
What are the worst two of those you have to pick? It's a, you know, Sophie's Choice situation.
Yeah. And please email us these at popeverything@gmail.com. That's pop everything. No, it's popeverything@gmail.com. This one comes from Ian.
Okay.
Who suggests the best first line of an album. And he writes, I've always thought Patti Smith's, quote, Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine.
Ooh, that's a badass quote.
And Elvis Costello's, I just don't know where to begin, are a couple of the best opening lines in music. I'd like to hear your take. I think one of them is the is a good opening line.
What?
One of the two that he suggested.
I don't know what Jesus died, but not for my sins means.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm not a... Look, I never bought into the myth of Patti Smith.
I'm not a big Patti Smith fan. That
I like her fine.
That strikes me as like something that it's like, oh, that's a badass thing to say. But then when you think about it, you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't... Look, that although that early quote-unquote punk scene stuff, it just doesn't interest me that much. I mean... They were kids. They were kids doing
kid things,
rock and roll stuff. Like, all right, we've all been there. Like, I don't know.
We've been there. We've all committed blasphemy.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, if you think that's cool, Patti Smith, hey, you go and do that.
Then I've got no interest in being cool.
And I don't know if I really like that Elvis Costello line, other than the fact that like that's just a really good song.
Well, he says, I don't know where to begin. And then
just don't know where to begin.
And then he records a whole album. So it's like, well, you figured it out, I guess.
No, he was just like, well, I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah. That album was recorded in one take.
Yeah. The record company was like, Declan, we need an album. And he's like, please call me Elvis.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, oh, you signed Declan on the contract. There's a lot of confusion at the end.
So what's one of yours, Tim?
Tom, one of mine?
Okay.
Okay. You want to go first?
No, I don't.
I'd
rather you go first and me go.
For the longest time, I always...
Oh, for the longest time, the Billy Joel.
Oh, yeah. So... Boop, 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 boop. Yeah.
This is doo-wop era.
I always considered myself, quote, not a lyrics person.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't care about lyrics. But this one, I've since recanted that statement.
Okay.
So don't worry. This one hit me when I was young, and I got it. And it's funny, and it's clever, and it's good. Nirvana, the opening line to In Utero, serve the servants, teenage angst has paid off well, now I'm bored and old. It's a good line.
And what's the rhyme?
Oh, you don't have to have the rhyme, because here's the thing, the rhyme is self-appointed judges judge more than they have sold, but like, that is just like, oh, you critics,
yeah.
I sold a lot of records, so how do you judge me?
You see, you don't like that.
That's
so
the part that I don't
that
like.
In the line.
Yeah, because teenage angst has paid off well, now I'm bored and old. That's awesome, because he was made the voice of the generation for all these angsty teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically, you know, he's tongue-in-cheek, because he was a cheeky fella.
Yeah.
Is that what that means, cheeky, with your tongues all stuck in it?
No, I don't think so, but...
Doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound like that would be the case. He's poking fun at his, he did make millions and millions and millions of dollars off of teenage angst.
Yeah.
And he said, teenage angst has paid off well. And now he's bored and old.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel like that's when, Courtney Love had, like, the Yoko influence.
Mm-hmm.
And
was, like, telling him that, like, you're a sellout.
Well, no, like, a lot of the lyrics on In Utero, either he claimed she got writing credit, or, like, she had claimed afterwards that she co-wrote a lot of the lyrics with him. And what I meant, like, John and Yoko territory, where, like, he was like, oh, no, I'm bringing you in as a creative force in my previously successful band here.
And a band that was doing fine on its own without you.
Yeah. But I'm in love. But that whole self-appointed judges judge more than they have sold. that seems to me like Courtney Love was like, hey, good funny first two lines that really clear the air. Like, couldn't be like the most anticipated album of the 90s is about to come out, and mm-hmm. it's like, you clear the air with a cutting joke.
Yeah,
great. Now ruin it. Call out all the critics for being shitheads, because they don't know how to sell records. Who are they to criticize you?
And who was really criticizing Nirvana at that point?
After
the first album,
I don't know. Everybody's got their demons.
Oh yeah, but I still feel like that first album, you know, even when it came out, was critically acclaimed.
Oh yeah, it had universal appeal. Like, were they talking to?
That's
Axl
an album
Rose
of hits.
Who didn't
yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, Axl Rose hated. He was the only one because, you know, the Nirvana.
Dethroned.
Yeah,
Guns N' Roses.
Well, they, you know, whether it's true or not, they were credited with like ending the glam, you know, hair metal era. But that stuff was on its way out anyway.
And also, you listen to Nevermind, Nirvana, and Pearl Jam 10.
Yeah.
Those are produced like glam rock records.
Oh,
Those records are like, they're not that different.
They've got dirtier distortion.
Nevermind doesn't. No.
Then a
Guns N' Roses record?
Not Guns N' Roses, but I'm thinking of like Rat or like, Poison.
No, it's the same. It's the same tones. They use the same guitar tones on those records.
How many Rat and Poison records do you have?
Most.
but not all of them.
Right.
So you can't say it.
That's true. I'm sorry.
All
I'm saying is they weren't all that different. And I bet if you had asked Kurt Cobain, he would have been like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm just making this.
Well,
record.
My point.
And he was unhappy with the way that Nevermind turned out also.
Yeah.
And,
well, my point was just going to be that I forgot my point. Oh, that Guns N' Roses seemed like they were the only band that stood up and was like, hey, no fair. We want to be popular still.
Yeah, I that whole thing was...
just got so mad at Nirvana.
No, that's what they want. That's what everybody wants you to think.
I believe that Axl Rose did that. He was an asshole. He still is an asshole by all accounts.
Sure. I mean, I'm not arguing that Axl Rose isn't an asshole, but I'm just saying, look, it's not for me to judge. Like, I don't know what happened backstage at the 1994 Video Music Awards and 1993 Video Music Awards.
Well, I was there, Tim.
Maybe Kurt Cobain said
something. Precocious 12-year-old.
I think Kurt Cobain was, like, yelling at him, harassing him or something, and then he came over and tried to start a fight. Or was that the 92 VMAs? That was back when I cared about the VMAs.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. It was a big deal.
Whenever I watch the VMAs now, I'm just like, oh... This is what old people feel like when they watch things that kids like.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, this past VMA, seeing people, I didn't watch it, but of course, like, you couldn't avoid Twitter and Facebook and everything about it. So many people, like, talking shit about it. It's like, hey, old idiot, it's not for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop getting mad about it and, like, talking about how boring it is or how this it is. It's not for you. It's for kids.
People seem to like it.
Yeah.
The kids seem to like it. The ones that...
You liked it, then MTV's doing it wrong.
Yeah, because all the products that they're trying to sell, you also didn't understand what they were.
Exactly. But those kids, they stole money out of their mom's purse and went and bought them at the mall the next day.
Exactly. All right, what's yours?
I am also... I wouldn't say I'm not a... I would say I am a lyric person, that I like lyrics, but... I think there's something wrong with my brain where my favorite songs in the world, I could not tell you what the lyrics to them are. The songs that if I pulled up my iTunes play count, you would be like, wow, there's something wrong with you. How could you have listened to these songs that many times? And I could not tell you any of the words.
I play with a band, Tom.
Uh-huh.
And we've played the same songs probably hundreds and maybe even thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
So often we'll start a song and then we'll have to vamp while the singer
recalls what the words
like
he wrote
walks
are.
Walks around going like, psst, Tim, how's this song start?
What's the first line?
Yeah, everybody does, yeah. We've started touring with an archivist now.
Well, that's a good idea. So I just went through my my iTunes real quick.
You can't say that's a trademark name.
You made me do it.
Yeah.
You made me trademark that name. But the one I came up with, the first line of Supergrass's self-titled album,
their third record,
Moving, Just Keep Moving.
All right.
I like that one.
That's first of all.
Till I don't know what I'm saying. But I like that song. That song's great.
Yeah. How it kind of turns into a disco jam.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. But but I think that's like a good line. The song and the album, it's a good way to open up an album with that idea of moving, just keep moving. Like, right.
Well,
know.
And this was their record where they were like, they broke from their previous like rock and roll life. Like, this was supposed to be a rebirth for their band, because they were just like, they were one of those fast moving bands, and they were like, no, we're going to slow down and make more of a thoughtful album and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think this was kind of, I took it to be, and I don't know how you interpret it, a comment on like, no, like, this is what it was like, we're just moving until we didn't even know what we're doing.
Well, the next line, Tim, I've been moving so long, the days all feel the same.
Yeah, I think that set the tone for the record, that was like, no, we're slowing this down a little bit. We're going to become a little more contemplative. Mm-hmm. And it's not just going to be all moving and moving and moving.
Yeah.
Everybody's been telling me to just keep moving all my life.
Yeah.
I don't know how not to do this anymore, but God damn it, we're going to try.
We're going to try and in the process make a great album.
Yeah. That album is awesome.
That's my favorite album.
That sounds like if the Muppets recorded a Supergrass record.
Yeah. Isn't that the one with the puppet video?
Yeah, like they teamed up with, I mean, they're like big, weird Henson puppets, yeah. Like not like Muppets.
Right.
For still Pump Henson. It on Your Stereo.
Yeah.
Man, they should have broke up after that album. You know what? That's a shitty thing to say. Yeah. Just because I didn't listen to the rest of the albums. And the first three records are incredible. Supergrass, we're talking about,
yeah,
by the way.
In case you're just tuning in, hold on, let me
if you're just tuning in, we're talking Supergrass, their first track off their self-titled album Supergrass from 1999, Moving.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize that In It for the Money was their second album. I thought In It for the Money was after.
No. Yeah, those two
that's
albums.
Also a pretty good opening line, just In It for the Money.
Got my mind made up. You know what? I don't know if we can put music in these episodes.
No,
though.
I can't.
Yeah, that's a shame. We got away with it with Elliot Smith.
Because
I don't think anybody's actively protecting his copyrights for some reason. The reason the second episode was so late, I think it was the second episode or maybe the third episode. Mm. Third episode. It's because we had an Arcade Fire 15-second segment of an Arcade Fire song, which was definitely fair use because we were talking about that song.
Right.
But it got taken down off the internet
on
us.
Got flagged. Yeah.
Which was amazing. It got flagged within 10 seconds of me uploading it.
Within 15 seconds, men had kicked my door in.
I know. You were beaten to a bloody pulp. Kept in a gulag.
It was Arcade Fire. It was all of them. All 50 of them came in, beat the hell out of me. But we'll put them on. We'll put them on tcgt.com. Like, we'll embed Spotify links.
Okay. Here we go. Number two, best first line of an album. Victor Vaughn,
mm-hmm.
Of course, an alter ego of the rapper MF Doom,
mm-hmm.
on his record "Venomous Villain," the first song "Back End."
You know, these are all comic book references.
Oh, I know.
You're
MF Doom is Dr. Doom.
I know. Yeah, and Victor Vaughn. I'm just pointing at your
You know what, Tom? He makes the references entertaining. I'll leave it at that.
So you would go.
I'll leave it at that.
You would go see a MF Doom directed superhero movie.
No, I'd listen to a record where there are good songs on it because he's a good musician.
Okay.
Back end. Dub it off your man. Don't spend that $10. I did it for the advance. The back end sucks. Here's why I like it, Tom.
All right.
First of all, what he's saying is pirate this album.
Dub it.
Don't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a lump sum to make it, and my royalty on each one is low. It's very, very.
So it doesn't matter if you buy this album or not. I've already made my money.
Right. So first of all, Victor Vaughn. Mm-hmm. I was just translating for people that don't know the slang
mm-hmm.
or the music industry terms. Right.
Right. Back end and advances
or any kind of So
entertainment.
Right. So business. Business.
Entertainment business.
So Victor Vaughn is kind of like the more evil version, the more raw, the more hardcore version of MF Doom.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
Why is that?
Well, I'm just thinking about Dr. Doom.
You're always just thinking about Dr. Doom. But so he immediately, right off the gate, I think is his first record as him.
Right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate is what I said.
You said off the gate.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, off the charts, out of the gate, he's establishing himself as...
Do I have to bring the stenographer in?
I wish you would. I'm going to keep making these flubs and denying them until you until you splurge on it. He's basically bragging. He's biting the hand that feeds him right there.
Yeah.
I'm against everybody, especially my record label here.
Oh, man, the first time that record executive's like, oh, okay, the new Victor Vaughn album, it's completed. Let me look. What?
Just coffee.
Yeah.
Diane, get Vaughn on the line.
And steam's coming out of his ears.
Yeah.
So mad. How much could that advance have been?
I think it was just a jokey line. I guess both of these were like inside jabs, right?
Yeah.
Like both of mine, I like a funny kind of.
You're an inside baseball guy.
I'm an inside baseball kind of guy.
You also like stuff that's commenting on the industry.
I also like, because he does this a lot, he's just using like outdated kind of slang, like dub it off the man.
Dub
it's
it.
Like, you know, it's not 1982 where we're like recording a record. We're dubbing it onto a cassette tape.
Yeah.
Or
we have one of those, like, two cassette players.
Yeah, I think this came out in, like, 2002 or something. People could have just put it on a copy on your CDR. Don't buy it.
Burn it off your man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about MF Doom. And he'll say things like, great googly moogly or something. He'll also use other old-timey phrases, is what I'm saying.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
This one, this is just my favorite song by this band.
And it happens to be the first song off a very good album?
Yeah. And it's, the name of the band is Spoon.
Never heard of them.
The name of the album is Girls Can Tell.
You love that album.
Yeah.
Huh? Wow.
And the first song, Everything Hits at Once, the first line, don't say a word, the last one's still stinging.
Ooh.
Ooh.
We're walking in the middle of something, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the album, you know, and the song is, you know, the idea of the song, Everything Hits at Once, and Tim... Truer words were never spoken.
Yeah,
that's always the case. Everything hits at once.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on with Britt here. Everything's hitting at once. He's like, ay, ay, ay. I can't. That's one of the other lyrics.
Ay, ay, ay,
I can't take it
anymore. The
rest anymore.
Of the it's like, ay, 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 ay.
What am I going to do?
Little brother.
I've got myself in a pickle here.
Let me loosen up this old collar.
But yeah, I like that it feels like you're walking in on something. Like
I feel like that's a lot of Spoon. Like pretty much every Spoon song, you feel like you're being dropped in the middle of something.
Yeah,
you're just
something
like,
emotional.
Yeah, or just something like that you don't always figure out what's going on.
Yeah, because, I mean, some of the other lyrics, out in the car, can feel it calling me, and ooh, you're so far away. Out in the car? What's he doing in the car? He's just, like, he's walking you through. He's painting a picture. It's like, what happened?
What the hell happened?
You know, he's walking out of, you know, a girl. It's just, she's said it. She has said the thing that she had never been said to him.
Nuclear war right now.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe she said, I don't love you anymore. Don't say a word. Last one's still stinging.
Right.
And then he's going out to his car. He's driving to band practice, maybe.
Cool.
Yeah. Or maybe he's got a show that night.
Hey, he's a working musician.
New Spoon album is being made as we speak.
Yeah, I don't have high hopes that it'll
really?
Be...
Really?
No, that'll be coming out anytime
soon.
Oh.
Either it won't or it will come out, like, tomorrow.
Yeah. I think we had this conversation once that, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, he tweeted it, like,
yeah,
an hour from now.
Yeah.
And, like, all right, we finished our record.
Good band. Good band that I've seen. I've seen them at least... three times, and I always forget that I've ever seen them live.
I saw them once with you at the Music Hall of Williamsburg. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they were so drunk. They
it was the last night of their tour, I think.
Yeah, they were playing like some party. They were playing some like anniversary party. Or
yeah,
something.
For the venue.
Yeah.
And we were invited because we were VIPs.
Yeah, because we're big podcast stars. So that affords us a certain level of recognition mm-hmm. that others don't get.
Yep.
Sorry, y'all just jealous. So if you have a top two, bottom two,
mm-hmm.
I'd like a bottom two. I'd
yeah.
like to know like... You know, something good. Like, what are your two least favorite Scorsese movies? Your
mm-hmm.
two least favorite Foo Fighters albums?
That's an easy one.
Yeah?
Actually,
there's
an interesting one.
There are a lot competing, let me
yeah.
tell you, man. if you like the show, check us out at tcgte.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us at Pop Everything on Twitter.
Yep.
Follow me at your pal Tim.
You can follow me at Tom Reynolds.
Email us at popeverything@gmail.com. And do your shopping, holiday or otherwise, at tcgte.com/Amazon. We sure would appreciate it.
Yeah, especially if you bought my book.
Oh, yeah, Tom, talk about your book while I go to the bathroom.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.